Okay, today's daf is Bavmatsiya daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page at E Hachi. We were in the middle of discussing why it is that a sachir bizmano is nishba v'notel, that a sachir, when he's coming to get paid on time, we allow him the upper hand in terms of controlling the situation to take a shavua and get paid. So we were talking about how the reason for that is ultimately because the Baal HaBayis is so tarud that he probably doesn't remember. So the Gemara is going to question a little bit further along those lines whether if that's the reason, well, how do we explain other halachos relating to a sachir? Then the Gemara is going to explain why the sachir can be nishba v'notel when there were edim who saw him be toveya, and what exactly that means. Edim that saw him be toveya, when and for how long can he be nishba v'notel just because there were edim who saw him be toveya? And then the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph is going to move into the halachos of mashkon, and specifically the Mishnah is going to enumerate a number of limitations to a person's rights to take a mashkon, that you're not always allowed to take a mashkon, and not everything can be taken as a mashkon. The Gemara is going discuss and bring rayos whether we know that that it seems clear that the malv himself is not allowed to go into the house of the lovet to take a mashkon, but it's going to be machlokas whether the shliach beizdin is permitted into the house of the lovet to take a mashkon. So we're going to have several rayos whether or not the shliach beizdin is permitted into the house of the lovet to take a mashkon. And then on Amud Beis we're going to discuss what cannot be taken as a mashkon, what must be left in the person's house so that they can live normally. And then toward the end of the daf, we're going to talk about the different Tanaim who hold in a variety of different contexts that Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim, and that relates to a mashkon in terms of what he's entitled to keep in order to maintain his basic sense of dignity that he's used to. So do we assume that every Jew is entitled to a very high sense of dignity, even though he may his bank statements may not reflect that he lives that he belongs to such a class? So let's begin three lines from the bottom of the page. Ihachi, says the Gemara, Ihachi, if it's true that the Baal HaBayis is Tarud, and that's why it's very difficult for him to keep track of exactly who he has paid and who he hasn't paid, then afilu avar zman onami, then why is it that the sachir is nishba v'notel only if it's bizmano, only if it's within the time? Even if the time is already passed, the Baal HaBayis should be assumed to be Tarud, and therefore the sachir should be nishba v'notel. So lama tanan, why then does Mishnah say avar zmano Eino nishba v'notel, that if it's over zmano, he cannot be nishba v'notel? So chazaka in Baal HaBayis over mishum bal talin. So answers the Gemara, because we have a chazaka that once it's over zmano, that it's a chazaka the Baal HaBayis would not have violated bal talin, that he would not have violated delaying the payment. Va'amrit Baal HaBayis tar b'palavu. How does that really answer the question? Meaning we said the Baal HaBayis is so busy that he doesn't remember. So it's not that he's in violation of bal talin, he doesn't think he thought he paid. He has no idea. So how can you say that such a chazaka applies? Says the Gemara, "Hani milim kamdilim to his man chiyuve." When do we say that there's a that the Baal HaBayis is tarud? That's before this man chiyuv to pay. Avol matas man chiyuve rami anaf sheyam midkar. But once this man chiyuv comes, then we assume that he's going to force himself. He's going to think about it. He's going to focus, and he'll remember whether or not he's actually paid. So we assume that once the Zman is passed, since the Baal HaBayis doesn't want to violate Baal Talin, if he hasn't yet paid, he would remember that he hasn't yet paid. So Tosos Dibra Maschil Hashta raises the question, so if that's the case, why do we say that Bizmano, the Sachir is Nishba V'notel? We have a better answer. Instead of letting the Sachir be Nishba V'notel, which the whole reason we allow the Sachir to be Nishba V'notel Bizmano is because the Baal HaBayis doesn't remember, so what we really need over here is just for the Baal HaBayis to remember. And once he remembers, we're going to trust him. So Tosfos says, I have a better idea. Instead of having the sachar be nishba v'notel, just wait. Give the Baal HaBayis time till amud hashachar, till it's avar zmano. And once it's avar zmano, we'll assume he's not going to want to violate Baal Talin, and he'll actually remember whether he paid, and then we could believe him about that. Furthermore, Tosfos asks, even betoch zmano, if the Baal HaBayis is modu b'mitzas, let's say, he says, I paid half of the chov, then we should definitely believe the Baal HaBayis, because over here the issue is not a lack of ne'emanus, it's that we don't believe that he remembers. But if he says he remembers, you know, he knows that he did pay and he admits that he paid part, so then the Baal HaBayis should be believed. So Tosfos says that this whole idea that the Baal HaBayis is rami nafshei umidkar, that he'll focus and he'll remember, is only betziruf with the svara that we say that chazaka eina sachir mashascharo. We only rely on that together with the idea that the sachir would not delay in asking for his money. So bizmano, you don't have that chazaka because the sachir was not mashascharo. He was toveya right away from the balabai, so it's not going to help to wait until amura shachar. That's what Tosfos says over here. Tosfos Maseches Shua suggests that since initially he said he paid, we're choshesh that if he remembers, he's going to be huksak shakran, and therefore he's not going to want to motivate himself to remember properly. But anyway, so the point is though that once the zman has passed, the Gemara assumes that rami anafshei umitkar. So, in fact, the Gemara v'chisachir over mishum baltigzol. Good, you're going to want to say chazaka that the balabais is not that once it's over zman, the balabais is going to remember. But what do you think the sachir is going to violate baltigzol, that he's going to lie about such a thing? So it says Gemara hasam trei chazaki hacha chad chazaka. It's two chazakas against one. By balabais ikatrei chazaki. By the balabais, it's two chazakas. Chada the ain balabais over mishum baltalin. Number one, he doesn't want to violate baltalin, therefore he'll force himself to remember. V'chada the ain sachir mashascharo. Plus, there's another chazaka that the sachir wouldn't have waited this long. So if it's avar zmano, that shifts the upper hand to the balabais. On the sachir side, there's only one chazaka that he doesn't want to violate, baltigzal. Tosfos raises the question, why is this even a kasha, that the sachir would have a chazaka that he doesn't violate baltigzal? You know what else? You know who else would have a chazaka that he wouldn't violate baltigzal? The balabais. Granted, you're bringing in a new chazaka, a new iser, that the Bnei Yisrael are ksherim, and we have no reason to suspect that someone would violate baltigzal. This is a dine mamonis issue. Someone is going to be in violation of baltigzal. So by saying that, oh look, the sachir wouldn't violate baltigzal, yeah, but the balabais wouldn't violate baltigzal either, because the Gemara already said kovish schar sachir is in fact a violation of baltigzal. Not paying one's workers is a violation of baltigzal. So that's the kasha that Tos raised. So Tos says that the additional isra of baltigzal is not going to cause him any more motivation to be careful about his accountings than baltalin would. So the baltigzal is not a game changer on the balabais side. The baltigzal is only it only changes the attitude on the sachir side, because prior to that there was no iser that the sachir was potentially violating. But on the balabais side there already was an iser of baltalin. So that's why the baltigzal is not going to matter on the balabais side. Then the Mishnah had said that if there are edim that he was already toveya, then he could be nishpa v'notel. So, frankly, Gemara v'katava l'kaman. What do you mean if there are edim that he was toveya? He's being toveya right here, right in front of us. We see him being toveya, so we know that he's being toveya. Amar Rabbi Shatvo bizmano. If there are edim that he was toveya within the time on the day that it was due, that the payment was due, v'dilma l'basar achipara. Good. So you have edim that he was toveya bizmano. Maybe he paid later that day and we just didn't see it. So Adam saw that he came to him in the morning that the money was due, and he asked him for the money. Maybe that afternoon he already paid it. Amar Abai Shetvo Kolzmano. Now we have Adam that he was Tavea throughout the entire period, as Rashi points out, Ad Sha'avar Alav, until that Zman was already over. So we know that he didn't pay Bizman. So Frek the Gemara Uli Olam. So because we know that he didn't pay Bizman, does that mean forever that we're going to assume that the balabais is not going to be believed because he hasn't paid? We assume forever he hasn't paid. Amar Rav Chaim Baruch Va Keneged Osa Yom Shel Tvia. No, it doesn't mean forever. It means Keneged that one day that he was being Toveya him. What does that mean? So Rashi writes, Keneged Osa Yom Shel Tvia, Yom Echad Liachar Zman Nosan Alcham Lishav Litol. That we give the Sachir one additional day past the time where it was due, where payment was due, that he's allowed to be nishpa v'notel. Since there was one day that he was tovea, there's one day where he's allowed to be nishpa v'notel. That is how Rashi understands. Several other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. The Tos Rabbeinu Peretz, Rabbeinu Chananel, they suggest that it's keneged osa yom shel tvia means as many days as he comes to be Tovea, he gets one more day to be Nishma Benotel. Meaning, he was Tovea on the day it was due, good, so he gets the next day. Let's say that next day we have Edim that he was Tovea then as well, so he gets the day after that to be Nishma Benotel, v'chule v'chule. As many days as he continues to come to be Tovea, that's how many days he's going to be Nishma Benotel. Good, so now we have a new Mishnah going to shift the discussion to taking a mashkon. Hamalves chavero lo yimashkanenu ele bebezdin. If someone lends money to somebody else, he cannot take a mashkon from him except for in bezdin, meaning only bezdin can be in charge of seizing a mashkon. Vlo yikanes lebeso litol mashkono. Plus, you're not allowed to go into the lover's house to take the mashkon. Shenemar, because the pasuk says bachutz ta'amod, that you're supposed to stand outside. Hayulo shnei kelim, if the guy had two kelim, notinach as a mashkon, notel echad umaniach echad, you should only take one at a time. You take one, you leave one there, then you switch it back out as needed. The person needs a daytime kli, so you give that to him during the day, and you take his nighttime kli. And when it's nighttime, you give him his nighttime kli, and you take back his daytime kli. Umachzir sakar balayla v'esamachareisha biyom, and therefore you return his pillow at night, and you return his plow during the day, because that's what he needs at those times of the day. The imeis, but if the lova dies, Eino machzir liyorshim. You don't have to keep returning the mashkon to the yorshim. What do you do with it? You sell it and you get paid back, because that's your that's your advantage, that you're now able to get paid back. Typically speaking, metaltalin are not meshubatu balchov, but over here you already have it as a mashkon, so you're allowed to sell it. Meshum gamliel omer afla atzmo eino machzir elad shloshim yom. Meshum gamliel says even if the guy is still alive, the love is still alive, this idea of keeping giving it back to him, that's only for 30 days. That doesn't go on forever. After 30 days, then you sell it in Beis Din, even if the guy himself is still alive. The whole idea of giving it back is only for the first 30 for the first 30 days. The idea of taking a mashkon in the first place, the Gemara is going to say the iser of lo yimishkanenu ela beBeis Din is only by schar sachir and by schar batim and schar poel. I'm sorry, it's not by schar sachir and by schar batim and schar poel. Is only by a halva'a. So halva is defined as anything that was initially a loan or was zakfan alav b'milvah. Sometimes you have a chov that came about because of something else, but you turn it into a loan. So only by a loan we're talking over here, all these dinim of mashkon. Now the Mishnah goes through these limitations in terms of what you're allowed to do versus what Beis Din is allowed to do. Now the Rashi Shita, we said machzir zakar b'layla v'samachareisha b'yom, Rashi and Rov Rishonim assume that a machareisha has a din of kli ochel nefesh. A kli ochel nefesh is something you're not allowed to take as a mashkon at all. The pasuk says liyachbol rechayim v'rechev. You're not allowed to take something that he needs for ochel nefesh. So Tosos raises the question, so how come the Mishnah gives that as an example of all the examples you could use as a mashkon? So, you know, it's one thing to say, it's just giving it as an example, doesn't mean it. But you could pick anything as an example. You're not going to pick the one thing, you're going to pick the one thing that you're not allowed to take as a mashkon because it's a kli ochel nefesh. So Tosos quotes Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that a mechareisha does not have a din of a kli ochel nefesh because only a rechayim v'rechev, something that actually works with the food itself, is a kli ochel nefesh. But that even though in a chinami, without plowing your field, you're not going to be able to produce the food that you need to produce, but that's not called a kli ochel nefesh because it's not dealing directly with the food. So the Mishnah is being meduyak when it dafka picks the example of a machareisha. But Rashi and Rov Rishonim assume that no, machareisha is a kli ochel nefesh, and therefore you have the kasha on Rashi that Tosos asks, how come the Mishnah gives that example? So there are essentially three approaches that Rishonim Achronim take to be miyashev this shita. The Ravid understands that if you use mashkin a kli ochel nefesh be'isser, you're kona the mashkon. Meaning, you're not allowed to do it, but the Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush that if you do it, it still counts as a mashkon. So this Tosos already discusses this idea that you're kona a mashkon, that you're not allowed allowed to take. How exactly does this relate to the sugya in the beginning of Maseches Temura, Chol Milsa Dam Rachman Alos Avid, Iavid Lomahani, that when the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, if you do it, it doesn't work, it doesn't take effect. And yet over here we're saying you're not allowed to take a Machresha, but nevertheless, you do it and it does take effect. So you have to figure out exactly how it stems with that sugya, but that is the Shita of the Ravid. The Ramban understands that you're allowed to take a Mashkon for a Kli Ochel Nefesh as long as it's not Shas Melacha, as long as it's not at the time that it's needed. And that's Gufa, the Mishnah's point. Yeah, the Mishnah, when does the Mishnah say use a Machresha as an example of a Mashkon you're allowed to take? Dafka when the Mishnah's trying to say that you got to give it back during the daytime. That's the whole point. You can't take a Kli Ochel Nefesh when he needs it for Ochel Nefesh. But when he doesn't need it for Ochel Nefesh, then in a Chinami you could take it because it ceases to be a Kli Ochel Nefesh at night. No one's plowing their fields. And then the third possibility, the Baal HaMor suggests that if the Lovis says, I'm okay with you taking it, you're allowed to be Mekabel, a Kli Ochel Nefesh, as a Mashkon. Meaning, in a Chinami, you're not allowed to take a Kli Ochel Nefesh as a Mashkon. But if the Lovis is interested in giving you that Kli, so then in a Chinami, then you're allowed to take that Kli as a Mashkon. And that's why the Mishnah gives that example. Those are the three different Yeshuvim for Shitas Rashi in the Mishnah. Now, Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosos that the mitzvah of Hashavas HaAvot is only by a Kli that's made for a person's own physical body, like clothing and things like that, the idea of giving it back. So says Rabbeinu Tam, what about the Machresha? The Machresha is not for your own physical body. Why does the Mishnah give that as the example of the thing that you have to give back? So Rabbeinu Tam suggests that when we say Machresha over here, it doesn't mean a plow. It's some type of Kli that we're not that familiar with because it was something that they would use in a bathhouse. It was like a mini scraper to scrape their back or something while they were in the bathhouse. That's what Machresha means. And he has one very strong raya. Rabbeinu Tam says, if you look at the Gemara at the end of today's daf, the Gemara is going to talk about a rich man's Machresha and how a rich man's Machresha is different than a poor man's Machresha, and therefore if you're going to seize it and sell it, you have to at least replace it with the cheaper kind. Well, what's the expensive kind and the cheaper kind? So the Gemara is going to say, well, a silver Machresha, you know, if a guy's going to have a silver one, that's a rich man's Machresha. Well, that's a foolish thing to do, to plow a field with a silver plow. It's not going to be effective. It's not a particularly strong metal. It dents easily. It's a terribly stupid idea to plow a field with a silver plow. It can't possibly mean that, says Rabbeinu Tam. What it must mean is some type of personal hygiene kli that you would have, a silver one that a person would use, where it's not, but a plow? So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. It can't possibly mean a plow. Nevertheless,
that's the same with Tosis. It says it's done for a personal, for Ochel Nefesh. It's done for hygiene, it's not for Ochel.
No, Ochel Nefesh is Lav Dafka. I would assume that Ochel Nefesh includes all personal physical needs, like by Yantif, right?
That's food preparation.
Yeah, I would think just whatever you need, I would assume, but I'm not sure. Okay, so that's that. But Rova the Rishonim assume that Machresha means a plow, that it's a Yerchoresh Bo Karka. And so then they're back to the question. So why is there a mitzvah of Hashavas HaAvot? It's not something that you need for your own physical well-being. So the Ramban asks even further that there's a riboy for each of the items that there's a mitzvah of Hashavas HaAvot for. By Ksus, it's Mefurish in the Torah that there's a mitzvah of Hashavah. There's a special riboy that for a matzah, for a mattress, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas HaAvot. So where do we find a special riboy for a Machresha that there's such a mitzvah? So that's the Rishonim to work on exactly how to make our Mishnah fit if you understand that we're actually talking about a Machresha. Says the Gemara, Amr Shmuel, Shliach Bezdin Minatech Natuche in Aval Mashkone Lo. A Shliach Bezdin, if he runs into the Love in the Shuk, he can take a Mashkon from him if he's holding him in his hand, but to go into his house and take a Mashkon, even a Shliach Bezdin is not allowed to do that. So this is Shmuel's Chiddush that we're going to be questioning and that we're going to be trying to bring Rayas to and against, that even the Shliach Bezdin is not allowed into the Love's house to go take the Mashkon. So says the Gemara Vatanan, Hamalves Chaveiro, our Mishnah says, if your Malves Chaveiro, yimashkenenu ela bebezdin. Mechlal de bebezdin memashkenen. You're not allowed to go into his house to take a mashkon unless you have bezdin. But that implies that if you do have bezdin, you are allowed to go into his house to take a mashkon. So amlach Shmuel emal lo yinatchenu ela bebezdin. What it means to say is lo yinatchenu ela bebezdin, meaning even in the shuk you're not allowed to take from him unless you have bezdin's help. To go into his house, even with bezdin's help, no one's allowed to go into his house. Says Mara Hachinami Mistavra, that's what it means. The Katani Sefer, because the Sefer of our Mishnah says, and this I guess would count as our second Raya, Lo Yikanes Lebeisel Litol Mashkono, that you cannot go into his house to take his mashkon. Well, who cannot go into his house? Who's the Sefer talking about? Money. Ilem a Balchov. If you're talking about the Balchov himself, Mereisha Shemamina. We already know that from the Reisha. Elolav Shliach Bezdin. It must be that even the Shliach Bezdin, we said the Balchov is not allowed to be mashkon, so we already know the Balchov is not allowed to go into the house. So who are we adding when we say he's not allowed to go into the house? Must be that's a reference to the Shaliach Bezdin. Well, in fact, the Gemara Imishim Ha, says the Gemara rather, the Gemara is Doche, Imishim Ha, if that's the reason, if that's your Raya, that Shaliach Bezdin is not allowed to go into the house, Lo Iria, that's not the greatest Raya. Because Hachi Kamer, maybe what the Mishnah is saying is as follows, Hamalva Eschaveru, that if someone, in fact, in the Bachi adds Chisuri Mechsra, that you have to Vachi Katani, that this is what it means to say, and you have to add in a little bit. Hamalves chavero lo yimashkenenu ela bebeizdin. That someone who lends money to his friend can only take a mashkon with beizdin. Mechlal de bebeizdin mimashkenim. Sounds like with beizdin you can take a mashkon. So meaning you take a mashkon by going into his house. That beizdin is even allowed to go into his house. Ubalchov afilu nituche namilo, but a balchov is not even allowed to go over to him in the shuk and take a mashkon. Why is a balchov not allowed to do that? The Bach has the word gezeira shema yikanis lebeso litol mashkono as a gezeira that he might end up if we allow him to take from him in the shuk that he might end up going into his house as well, and that he's not allowed to do. Only the Shliach Bezdin is allowed to do. So from the Sefer of our Mishnah, we don't have a clear Raya whether the Shliach Bezdin is or is not necessarily allowed to go into the house of the Lovet to take the Mashkon. So says Gemara, a third Raya. Masav Rav Yosef, Lo Yachbol Rechayim Varechev, that you're not allowed to take as a Mashkon, a Rechayim Varechev, Hadvarim Acherim Chavol, that sounds like other things you're allowed to take. Lo Sachbol Beged Almana, Hashel Acherim Takbal. You're not allowed to take the beged of an almana, but if the person that you're taking from is not an almana, apparently no problem. Well, who's the one that's doing the taking? Man, Ilem a Balchov, if you can say it's a Balchov, Haksiv lo Savu al Beiso la Avot Avoto, that the Pasuk says that you're not allowed to go into the house of anybody, of any lovet, to take your mashkon. Elolav Shliach Bezdin. So it must be that it's the Shliach Bezdin. So you see that a Shliach Bezdin is permitted to go into the house, provided that he doesn't take these items that he's not allowed to take. Sans Gemara, Tir Gemara Papa, Breid Rav Nachman, Kamed Rav Yosef, Varmilav Papa, Breid Rav Yosef, Kamed Rav Yosef, Liolam Bebalchov. No, maybe we're really talking about the Balchov. Aye, the Balchov anyway has an Isser. Why do you have to make an Isser to take these things? Balchov's not allowed to take anything. Lav or lav b'shnei lavin. It's teaching us that a balchov himself violates two separate lavin when he takes these highly sensitive things. So he's not allowed to take anything, but when he takes these things that are basic necessities for the person, then he's in violation of two lavin. But what about the Shliach Bezdin? He can go into the house and take as needed. So that's not a raya either. So now the Gemara moves on to raya number four. Tashema mimashma shnemar b'chutz ta'amod. From the fact that the Pasuk says you should stand outside, can I not figure out on my own that if Bachutz Ta'amod, you know, the next phrase in the Pasuk is that the guy who owes the money will bring it out to you? Obviously, if you're standing out, the only way it's going to get out to you is if the guy who owes the money brings it out to you. What's the Pasuk teaching me when it says v'ha'ish, that it says Bachutz Ta'amod v'ha'ish? And the man, l'rabu shliach bezdin, that must be coming to include the shliach bezdin. That and what does that mean? That my lav shliach bezdin kalove. Doesn't that mean that either the ish, or the asher atanoshabo, or the guy that owes you the money, is then able to yotzi elecha savot achutza? So it's a funny way to read the pasuk. That the way to read the pasuk that the Gemara is suggesting is bachutz tamod malve. You stand outside. Ha'ish, ve'ha'ish, and Asharat HaRosh Shebo, two separate people, the Ish, meaning the Sheikh Beis Din, and also the person at HaRosh Shebo, the person that owes you the money, so they're the ones that have the ability to be Yotzi Elecha Zavot Achutza, to bring the Avot outside. So you see, the Sheikh Beis Din is like the lover, that he's allowed to go into the house. Says Merlov, Sheikh Beis Din Kemalva. Maybe no, maybe the Sheikh Beis Din has a din of a malva, that he's not allowed to go into the house. So that's what we're saying. And the way to read the pasuk, Enochinami, the word ish is talking about the Shlech Bezen, but the way to read the pasuk is Bachutz Tamod Viha Ish. That you put you punctuate differently. Who stands outside? The Malva and Ha'ish and the Shliach Beis Din. Who then is going to bring out the Mashkon? Asher Tadosh Shabbat Yotzi Alecha Zavot Achutza. The guy that owes the money will bring you out the money. Will bring you out the Mashkon rather. So Tashma Raya number 5. Im Chavot Achbal Salmas Reacha B'Shliach Beis Din Hakosim Medaber. That's talking about a Shliach Beis Din who's going to bring Salmas Reacha. So Atom B'Shliach Beis Din Hakosim Medaber Einu Ela B'Bal Chov. How do I know it's talking about the Shliach Beis Din? Maybe it's talking about the Bal Chov. Kishomer Lo Savol Beisol Lavot Avoto Hare Bal Chov Amor. When it said that you're not allowed to go into his house to take a mashkon, we already spoke about the Bal Chov, and we already know the Bal Chov is not allowed to go into the house to take anything. So any sort of mashkon. So why does who are we talking about when we say that if you take the clothing at Bo Hashemesh Tishivenulo that you have to make sure you give it back to him as needed? It can't be talking about the Balchov, because the Balchov is not allowed to take it in the first place, not allowed to go into the house in the first place. So who's the one that went into the house, took the clothing, and is going to be returning it as needed? So it must be b'shliach beis din akasim medaber, that it's talking about the shliach beis din. Ah, so you see very clearly we're making the assumption that the balchov is not allowed to go into the house, but the shliach beis din is permitted to go into the house, and he can bring out he just has to return the clothing that he takes. So says the Gemara, isn't this clearly a raya that the Shliach Beis Din is permitted into the house? And what did Shmuel say? That the Shliach Beis Din is menatech natuchayin av mashkonei lo. Shmuel's original shita that started this whole discussion was that the Shliach Beis Din is not allowed to go into the house. So what's Shmuel going to do? We have a clear raya. We have no rejection of this raya. So says the Gemara, tanaihi. Maybe in fact it's a machlokas Tanayim, meaning you're right. You have just proven from a brisa that a shliach beis din is permitted into the house. But I could show you another brisa that will tell you that a shliach beis din is not permitted into the house, and that's the one Shmuel's paskening like. Ditanya, we have another brisa. Shliach beis din shabal l'mashkano lo yikanes l'beisol l'mashkano. That a shliach beis din who comes to collect a mashkon is not permitted to go into the house to take a mashkon. Ela omein mibachutz v'alo motzi lo mashkon. Rather, he's got to stand outside and wait for the mashkon. Shneamar bachutz ta'amod v'ha'ish, because the pasuk says bachutz ta'amod v'ha'ish, and that's the way we read it. That you stand outside, and also the ish stands outside. And then Asher Tanoshebo, the guy who owes the money, is going to go and bring you the mashkon. V'tanya idach, and we have another brisa. Balchov shabal l'mashkano lo yikarnis l'beisol l'mashkano lo mid b'chutz. The balchov who wants to collect the mashkon cannot go into the house to collect his mashkon. V'halo nichnas umotzi lo mashkono. And the other guy will go in and he'll take the mashkon out. Shenemar b'chutz ta'amod. Because the pasuk says b'chutz ta'amod. V'shliach beis din shabal l'mashkano. If it's the shliach beis din that's coming to take the mashkon, then he's allowed to go into the house and take the mashkon. So here's another brisa, and in this brisa it's clear that the Shliach Beis Din is permitted in the house. So you see that we have a machlokas tanaim, that whether the Shliach Beis Din is or is not permitted in the house to take the mashkon. The Rishonim raised the issue that according to Shmuel and the Tanoim that hold that a Shliach Beis Din is not allowed to go into the house, how do you explain the pasuk im chavol tachbol salmas reacha al bo hashemesh tishivenu lo? You're not allowed to be mashkin bebayis to begin with, so how does it ever get off the ground? How do you ever have such a case? The Tanu disagrees. We'll explain the pasuk l'shitaso, that it's talking about a Shliach Beis Din, that he's allowed to be mashkin bebeis halova, and so he did. But if you say that you're not allowed to, how do you ever get off the ground? So Tosus on Amud Aleph in Dibra Maschil Machzir explained that according to Shmuel, the pasuk is talking about where you violated the Isser. That you're not allowed to, but you did. You violated the Isser. And Tosus writes, it turns out that according to Shmuel, that even if you violate the Isser, you're still Zocha B'Mashkon. So apparently you're Zocha in the Mashkon. You have a mitzvah of Hashavas HaAvot because you have the normal. There's a new requirement of something that is a Mashkon. I worried about the sugi and Tumura. Tosus deals with it head on. That so Tosus says, and the sugi and Tumura requires a riboy that it's because it's only according to the Tana that riboy that the sugi and Tumura requires to teach that this works is only according to the Tana that is cholik on Shmuel. So says Gemara, v'loy mashkan. Now the Brisa just continues, and the continuation of the Brisa is going to take us off onto other topics relating to Mashkon. V'loy mashkanenu dvar mishos men ochel nefesh. You're not allowed to take something that he needs for ochel nefesh. And what do you leave him with? V'nosein mita umita umatza la'ashir. Make sure that if he's a rich person, you leave him with a bed and with a bed and with a mattress. Mito mito umapatz la'ani, and if he's a poor person, you leave him with a bed and with a bed and with a different kind of a mattress, a more shvach kind of mattress. Lo avalol ishtov lo lebanav lebanosav. You leave him with two beds, but for his wife, his sons, and his daughters, zero beds. Kiderek shemasad lebalchov. And if you want to know how to make such an arrangement to what you have to, the minimum you have to leave a person with when it comes to an erech, when a person took an erech vow and he hasn't paid up and Beis Din has to collect, and we want to know what we can be mamashkin for, so you look at the halachos of Balchov and that will guide us in terms of arachin as well. Frek the Gemara, that's backwards. Klapelaya. Ikar Sidr Barachin Ksiv, the psukim about being Mesadrlo and making sure that he has what he needs, it's in the Parsha of Arachin. It's not talking about by a Balchov. Ela'ema, so yeah, we mean to say the other way. Kederach Shemesadr Barachin, Kach Mesadr Balchov. That just like we are Mesadr for Arachin, so follow that same model when it comes to a Balchov. Mm-hmm. So now let's go back to some of the things we just said in that Braisa. Omer Mar, one strange thing that we just said is no say Mita. Umita umatzla ashir. Mita umita umapatzla ani. That we're giving two beds. What's with the two beds? So the man, who's that second bed for? Ilem l'ishto ulubanav l'benosav. If, you know, it's one bed for daddy and one bed for everybody else. So ha'amrit lo avalo l'ishto ulubanav l'benosav. But we learned that from the word lo, that even though you're mesader lo, you give him his personal needs, but you're not allowed, you don't have to give him for banav l'benosav, for ishto banav l'benosav. So that second bed can't be for ishto banav l'benosav. Ella idiv idiv lididei. No, it must mean that both of these beds are for him. They both belong to him. So tarti lamali. So why do I need? Why do I need two beds? So chadu da achalei v'chadu da zagala. That one bed is to eat on and one bed is to sleep on. That a person should not sleep on the same bed that he eats on. That we're assuming that they had some type of mita, some type of a haseba situation when they were kaveh themselves for a su'udah, so it wasn't like a dining room chair. So that bed, it has to be a separate bed than that which you sleep on. Why? Why can't you just use the same one for eating and for sleeping? So Gemara explains, Kiddush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Kalmili Yadana Susayu, Levar Mehanitha. Shmuel says, look, I'm an expert doctor and I know the refuah for just about everything, but there are three things that will get you sick and I don't know a refuah for, and they are manda achla hina marira aliba rekana, someone who eats bitter dates on an empty stomach, meaning as an appetizer for a meal, they eat bitter dates, it's not going to be good for you, you can get so sick, I'm not going to be able to come up with the refuah. Second, umanda asar misna dikisna retiva acharze, if someone uses as a belt a soaked, a wet flax belt that he uses to tie around himself, so he can get him so sick there's not going to be any refuah. And the third one is umanda achl nahama v'lamaski arba garmidi, that a person who eats bread and before he goes to sleep he doesn't take a walk. Rashi points out v'lamaski arba garmidi kodem sheyashin, before he goes to sleep hilkachi avinu le'mitashniya. That's the purpose of the second bed. Umashiva bracha garba amos. They have to set it up in such a way that the second bed that he's going to sleep on is 4 amos away. Mimakom achilaso v'al karcho yargil lamud v'leches v'mishka v'leishan al mitashachal. Wait a second. Can't the guy just stay in one bed and take a walk? Yeah, he can, but he won't. That people in general, if you set up a situation, you set up your house in a way that promotes good habits, so then you'll get into those good habits, right? If you have your Gemara right next to your computer with the internet connection, everything, so it's probably not going to work out so well that when you sit down to the Seder, you have to person they say if a person wants to make sure that he exercises when he wakes up in the morning, so you take your sneakers out and you exercise the night before, because the second that there's anything that's not set up perfectly, so a person it doesn't work out for a person. So I'm not going to take the 4 amos walk, I'm tired. No, the bed is 4 amos away, so that gets the person into a good habit. And that's so critical that we have to leave him with that, even when we take a mashko, and that he has the bed that's 4 amos away for good health. Tani Tana Kamed Rav Nachman, Kederuk Shem Sadr Ba'arachin, Kach Mesadrin Bebalachov. So they were teaching this to Rav Nachman, this brisa that we said before, that just like for Arachin, we have to leave him with what he basically needs. Same by Balchov. Amlei, Hashem Zvuni Mesabnin Alei, Sidurim Mesadrin Alei. You're even allowed to sell his stuff. So what do you mean you have to leave him with what he needs? You're allowed to sell the items. Who said you're allowed to sell it? Didn't we learn in our Mishnah you're not allowed to sell it? You have to give him back what he needs as he needs it? So says Marno, Tanuk Rav Shmuel Gamliel Tanuk Kameh. He was taught the Shita of Rav Shmuel Gamliel. They were telling him over the Shita of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, and that's what he was reacting to. Vachi Karmelei, Hashel Rav Shmuel Gamliel Zvunim Zavnin Alei. Remember, Rav Shmuel Gamliel was one that said in the Mishnah that after 30 days you can go and sell it, that giving it back to him is only for 30 days. According to Rav Shmuel Gamliel, you're allowed to sell it. Sidurim Sadrin Alei. So you have to make sure he has what he needs. He's obviously not going to have what he needs if you just sold it. Even when you're not dealing with the Yorshim, you're dealing with the Lova himself. You don't have to give it back after 30 days. You can go and sell it in Beis Din. So, but who said Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds that you're allowed to sell the item entirely? That you take his macharisha, you take his pillow, and you just sell it and leave him with nothing? No, Dilma Achi Kamar. Maybe what Rav Shmuel Gamliel meant was as follows. For 30 days, you give him back his personal item, his pillow, his macharisha, whatever he needs. Mikan ve'elach mahadule lemaide chazile umizavninan maidelo chazile. But after that, look, if he has a very expensive pillow and he can use a cheaper pillow, so take his $50 pillow and sell it and give him back a $5 pillow, and he'll be fine with the $5 pillow, and the extra $45 will go to pay for the chov that he owes you. That's what Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel is saying. So it's at the same time you could sell it and be misadile. Well, Isak died. No, the Gemara says that can't be, because if Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel were to hold that you have to be misadile, there's nothing you could say that he doesn't need it, that he doesn't need such a high class item, he doesn't need such an expensive item, because that there's a group of four Tanaim that all kulu svirulu, that all hold in different contexts, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim hein, that all Jews have a status of b'nei melachim in the sense that we should all we're all considered of such a high class that it's not considered above our means when we have very nice things. Rav Shmuel Gamliel d'tanan. Rav Shmuel Gamliel comes up in Shabbos. Lo saluf v'lo sachardol. That one is not allowed to carry a luf or a chardol on Shabbos because there's no way you can use it without cooking it or grinding it or violating some malacha. But Rav Shmuel Gamliel matir b'luf m'reishu mach. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, with luf it's fine because that's a food for someone who raises Orvin. Who raises Orvin? Only only rich people do. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that we all have a din of B'nai Malachim. We're all considered rich people, so we're all allowed to carry it. Rabbi Shimon, Ditnan, B'nai Malachim, Sachin Shemin Vered, Al Gabi Makosein, B'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon is the one that says that B'nai Malachim for a refuah can use Shemin Vered on their ailments on Shabbos. Why? Shekein Darkan Lasuch Bachol. Because very rich people will do this even on a weekday, even when they're not ill. So it doesn't look like a refuah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim Hein. Every Jew is allowed to use Shemin Vered for his Makkah on Shabbos, because every Jew is of such a high class that Shemin Vered makes sense for them even when they're not ill. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, where do we find Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva hold that Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim? Ditanya, we have a braisa. Someone owes 1,000 zuz, and he's wearing a $10,000 jacket. So we take that jacket, we sell it for $10,000, and we buy him one that's an appropriate jacket for him, that's a little cheaper. Kol Yisrael ru'uyin la'osa itzla. That all Yisrael is ru'uyin la'osa itzla. Everyone is that's not above the dignity of any Jew. Ulumay de sal kadait meikar diyavle may dechazle mazivinle may delochazile. Now that according to the Havamina that we had, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say, you sell the expensive item and you give him, replace it with a cheaper one that's right for him. Bishla makar kesas chazile de beni beni. Aval el macharisha lemay chazia. What kind of Macharisha does he have that's so expensive that you're going to sell and get him a cheaper one? So Amarava Baraba Macharisha de Kaspa. He has a silver Macharisha, and this was what Rabbeinu Tam said. Silver Macharisha must not be talking about a plow. We must be talking about a personal item that he uses in the Beis Hamerchatz. Okay, but we'll pick up with the Maskif tomorrow. Oh, yeah.